Welcome to Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman. Today, Pastor Huffman will be sharing a message with biblical truths that will help establish you in your relationship with Jesus, build your life upon the Word of God, and empower you by the Holy Spirit to live victoriously. And now, here is Pastor Daryl Huffman.
And he's come to make us witnesses, to show you that the same Jesus that was crucified, God, has now raised from the dead, and he's Lord. You know what their response was? The same response you and I should have when we hear this. What was their response? Let's read the next verse. Look what he says, verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said, look at this, to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Ooh, that's the question, isn't it? Let's just make it personal. What shall I do? What am I going to do with this truth? I mean, if this is real, I'm going to have to make a decision here. If Jesus has really died on the cross and been raised from the dead, and he's ascended on high and seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's poured out the Holy Spirit, and he told us to receive the Holy Spirit and to be endued with power and to be a believer and witness for him, what am I going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? What do you need to do about it? Because you see, they're saying, there's kind of a double question here. Number one is, what am I going to do about this? And then, how do I deal with this? In other words, if I want in on this, what do I need to do to get it? Amen? How do I get in this? See, you and I have to want in. And the reason I'm preaching this to you tonight is I want you to have a desire to get in. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you see, if you really want in, God's got the way open for you. And I don't want just in the door. And apparently you don't either, because I noticed that the doors into the sanctuary, there's nobody standing right there at the door. You came on in and was seated. Well, Jesus said, I'm the door. But a lot of us are standing right there at the door and haven't came on in. But he's inviting us to come on in. And so Peter's going to answer that question, what do I need to do? If this is real and I want to be a part of this, what do I need to do? Look what he says. Let's pick it up here. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now notice the first thing he says, repent. Now, repent in its simplest form just means to change what you're doing. Okay? Turn from what you're doing and do something else. For instance, you might repent for drinking alcohol and stuff because the doctor came to you and said that's you know, you can't do this, or it's going. And so because it was bad, you made a decision to turn from that, or you know, you turn from doing certain drugs because you know it's killing you, or certain things, and so you repent. In other words, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to turn and do something. I you know, they come and says you're going to have to change and quit eating this because you know it's messing you up and you have to eat like this. So you know what you do? You repent. In other words, I stop eating that way because it's bad for me. And I started eating healthy because the doctor gave me, and I make a decision that I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make a lifestyle change here. Amen? In the simplest form, repent just means make a lifestyle change. Okay? I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to live that way anymore because it's killing me. And so therefore, I'm going to turn and do something healthy with my life. In the simplest form, that's what repent means. And so in taking it in that look, Peter first says, the first thing you got to do is make a decision you want a lifestyle change. It's a lifestyle change. Because you're going to be living for Jesus now, not living for yourself. You're going to be believing Jesus now, not believing yourself. You first of all, if you want this, it's going to cost you something. You have to make a change. See, repentance isn't, God, forgive me, and then go out and live any way you want to. Repentance means, Lord, I want a lifestyle change. When I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, two nights before, I had an encounter with the Lord in my dorm room at East Tennessee State when I was playing ball down there. The Lord had spoke to me, but two nights before, I saw some friends, and they were going to church, and some of the football team was laughing and said, "Oh, that guy's going to church, they're missing out." And you know what? I was as backslid as a buzzard at the same time, and I'm standing there, and I looked at my buddies, and I said, "Shut up. They're right. We're wrong. Leave them alone." Then we all went out and got something to drink. I was a hypocrite. I was religious. I knew what was right, but I hadn't made the decision to change. Are you listening to me? But a couple of nights later, after going out and partying, I came back, and the next day I was so full of remorse. And finally, that evening I said, "Lord, I am so sick. I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to be like this anymore. I don't want to do these things anymore. Jesus, help me." And you know what? I was laying there in my bed about 9 o'clock that night, and the Lord spoke to me and made himself real to me and showed me those two guys and said, "Go to them and have them to pray." And they led me to Romans 10:9-10, and I believed in my heart and confessed Jesus as my Lord, and I made a decision, a lifestyle change that night. I chose, I want to be a believer. I want to live for Jesus. I don't want to live in drugs. I don't want to live in alcohol. I don't want to live out here and doing crazy things. I don't want to live out here fighting. I don't want to live out here being a reprobate. I am tired. I don't want to do that. And so the first thing Peter tells these people is this: you have to make a life. You got to want to make a lifestyle change. Because live for Jesus is more than just come to church, get your name on the roll, get water baptized, and sit in a pew. It's the Lord taking you out of the kingdom of darkness, placing you in the kingdom of God, and he becomes your Lord and King. Amen? And now he's expecting you to act like a believer. So the first thing, what's Peter say? He says, repent. You need to want to make a lifestyle change. But then you can use that, like I said, you can use that for food. You can use that for, you know, places you go. You can use that for, you know, things that are bothering you. You know, repent. A lot of us make a lot of, you know. And somebody says, what's the difference in repentance and remorse? A diet and a lifestyle change. What do you mean a diet? A diet is something you do until you lose the weight, and then you go out and reward yourself with a pizza. Amen? Somebody came up to me and said, "Pastor Darrell, you look like you've lost some weight. How much weight have you lost?" I said, "Oh, about 400 or 500 pounds. And they said, "What?" And I said, "Yeah, over the last 60 years, I've lost at least 400 or 500 pounds, but I keep putting it back on." I didn't, you know, because I hadn't made a lifestyle change. Amen. And so many people are in and out of church and in and out with God is because they're not wanting to first make a lifestyle change. I made a lifestyle change. I made Jesus my Lord. It means I surrendered everything to him. And then the second thing is this: Peter qualifies the repentance. He says, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. In other words, get born again. Because you can't make the change in your life that you want without giving your heart to Jesus. Amen? So he says the second step is now give your life to Christ. Give your heart to Jesus. Make him Lord of your life. Follow him in water baptism. Let the world know that the old man is dead and you've been raised up and Jesus is now your Lord. And then he says the third thing, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because if you're going to live this, you're going to have the helper working in your life. You have to have some help. But thank God, he said, you don't have to live this on your own. I've sent the Holy Spirit, and he's come to help you. Because you see up here in verses 32 and 33, he says, he has poured out this which you now see and hear. Amen? So he says, receive. And then, you know what he says in the next verse? He says this, for the promise. See, he goes right back to the promise. He's talking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to as many as are far off, as many as are called. In other words, Peter's saying this. You decide right now that you want to change how you live, how you conduct life, your attitudes, and you're going to turn to Christ. You're going to give your life to Jesus, and then tell you what you do. You get filled with the Holy Spirit and let him help you. And then get Jesus in your house. Because, see, Jesus doesn't want to just save you. He wants to save you and your kids and your grandkids and your mom and your dad. You know, the blessing of the Lord goes forward as well as backward. You know, since I've given my heart to the Lord and gotten filled with the Spirit and stood on the Word, you know that my parents are much stronger Christians now than they were when I was growing up. You know, we've led family members back to the Lord. And then we've gone forward and reached people, hallelujah, that we never knew before. Because God will work in all directions. But you have to have the help of the Holy Spirit. Notice that Peter said, he has poured forth that which you now see and hear. You know what happened? There was not only an inward power that came into them, but there were outward manifestations. You know, when you get full of the Holy Ghost, it shows up outwardly. Sure it does. It'll show up outwardly. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, look what happens over here in verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them divided tongues and as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. One of the things that will happen is this. You begin to speak with tongues, and then you get down here in verse 11, it says, we hear them speaking in our own language the wonderful works of God. In other words, the Holy Ghost will just fill you with the joy and the anointing, give you a heavenly language, and all of a sudden you'll be glorifying God. You know, in Acts chapter 10, whenever the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius' household, it said they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. If it's the Holy Ghost, guess what? He's going to magnify God in your life. He's never going to diminish God in your life. Amen? So what I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I need the helper. I need someone to help me to be a believer. I need someone to help me to keep God's commandments. I need someone to help me to love and be a witness and to be able to do the right thing when everybody else is doing the wrong thing. I need someone to strengthen me when I feel weak. I need somebody to comfort me when it looks like all my friends have walked away. I need somebody to be my advocate and help plead my case when I messed up. Amen. Amen? I need someone to counsel me when I'm needing to make a decision that's real strong, going to have consequences. And I always need somebody standing by. Because if I happen to fall over, I like to have somebody standing by close enough they can catch me. Amen? Amen? And not only do I need him to help me on these things, I need him to help me to have boldness and power to let people around me know that I've changed my life. Jesus is my Lord, and what he's doing for me, he can do for you. Amen.
That concludes today's message. We hope that you have enjoyed listening to the broadcast and that you've been encouraged, challenged, and strengthened by today's word. To receive your copy of today's message, visit us online at darylhuffman.org and click the link This Week on Radio. You can also order by calling us at 304-733-4423. Once again, that's 304-733-4423. To order by mail, just write to us at Daryl Huffman Ministries, P.O. Box 940, Huntington, West Virginia, 25712. Thanks again for listening to today's message. Faith That Overcomes is made possible by New Life Team Partners and Daryl Huffman Ministries. For more information on becoming a partner with this ministry, visit us at darylhuffman.org and click the partner link or call 304-733-4423. Once again, thank you for joining us today on Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman.